we come to our second lesson. And this lesson is the one that this week, both in planning for worship today, once upon a time, and in planning for worship this actual week, has provided the oomph to the sermon. So please listen carefully. This is from 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I had this beautiful sermon crafted. It was kind of beautiful and sentimental and wonderful. And I had actually sat down and started to create a list of all of the gifts that each of you have. And I was going to read out a gift that each of you have on Sunday morning. And it would have been really cute and probably a little bit of a tearjerker. And probably some of you would have said, "What is he thinking?" But the overwhelming image for Pentecost is flames, as you're seeing Madeline put some of our flame artwork up to start the sermon. And this week, those flames have also taken another turn, and they look differently. Virtually every pastor nominating committee ever writes somewhere in their ministry information form that they want a preacher who preaches biblically based, relevant to the contemporary time sermons. And they all want that until it happens. Well, today is one of those days where you get to put your money where your mouth is on wanting somebody who preaches biblically based, contemporarily relevant sermons. Ta-da. I was going through this text, and it's a powerful text. Both Pentecost, the moment of appearing like spirits, is a powerful text, appearing like flames. The passage about the many gifts that it takes to be the body of Christ is a powerful passage. And that combination of those things kept leading me back to Paul's other text about the parts of the body. And so, as I watched and listened and prayed this week, getting ready for worship, I was struck by the symbols and the language of spirit. You have heard me say before that when a mighty wind settles on the waters in Genesis, that's ruach. That's the Hebrew word for spirit. The Spirit of God is wind, and its spirit. And its breath. That's the same word that gets used just a little bit later when God is making human beings out of ground and breathes life into their nostrils. And so on this day, when we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, and one of the most pervasive images of the past week is signs saying, "I can't breathe," know that we are dealing with the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, being stifled by us. That's round one. I could have a whole sermon on that. We're going to cram it all in today. From there, I really do want to focus on the gifts that it takes to be church. To be church, what's it take? Well, last Sunday, we were having internet crisis at Lake of Egypt, so our backup plan was pan flutes from Lithuania. The musical gifts are one thing, but the adaptability to say, sure, let's go halfway around the world to make this thing happen in the name of Jesus Christ is something else, and it's a gift churches need, and we all too often don't have. When we look at the gifts that Paul outlines, they're interesting. They start with wisdom and knowledge, and we Presbyterians like our wisdom, and we like our knowledge, and we like our committees, and we like our certifications, and we like our degrees, and basically the more letters you have accumulated after your name, the more of an expert you are. So we get that part of it. But then it moves, and it talks about healings and miracles and faith. We may know how to get wisdom. We may know how to get knowledge. Do we know how to get faith? We know how to do healings? Do we know how to command miracles? That stuff can only come from God. And it starts to make we good, frozen, chosen a little twitchy in the seats when we start thinking about miracles. But then we have something else, because then it goes on to another prophecy and to another discernment of spirits and to another various kind of tongues and to another the interpretation of tongues, all activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually as the Spirit chooses. Now, the place that this makes us very uncomfortable outside of the whole speaking in tongues things, which just drives us nuts, is a little bit of prophecy and a little bit of the sense that we don't get to pick. The Spirit just gives us what God wants us to have, and we're stuck with it. There's no, if you work hard enough, if you study hard enough, if you do your thing right, then you can become a glossolalian. Isn't that a great word? I want to be a glossolalian when I grow up. You can't decide you want to be somebody who's going to speak in tongues. It either happens or it doesn't. There's no progression path. There's no certificate. Well, I can sort of speak in the tongues of men, and now I can speak in the tongues of angels, and now I can speak in the tongues of heaven. It's not how it works. It's not like if you learn a little French, then it helps with Spanish and Italian. It's just not how it works. God has to give out the gifts, and the gifts have to come from the Spirit. And so they're not in our control. And even if you are a great speaker of tongues, what does it do if there's nobody there who can interpret? The whole thing has to work together. You need prophetic vision, but you need wisdom to discern prophecy. You need knowledge to know the history of the people of God, both on the grand scriptural scale and the people of God in a given place. We need healing, not just of body, but of spirit and soul and mind and heart. We got to have all of this. We need a miracle every now and then just because we're starting to slip in our belief. We need proof that God is out there that we're willing to accept. And miracles are that sort of thing that we're generally willing to accept after a little bit anyway. That sense, when Paul closes this passage about just as the body is one and has many members, and all are members of the body, is the passage that we read twice liturgically in the life of the church. We read it at baptisms. We read that there are varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but it is the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. We read those at baptisms. If you remember once upon a time, like all the way back in January, before you knew how to wear a mask every day, we asked those questions to Zach. We said those statements about Zach at the waters of baptism. And then a week later, we said them about our deacons and our elders. These should be familiar. They should resonate somewhere deep in your bones. Of course, then we have the problem that Paul does this whole biblical thing about parts of the body. And that really is what grabbed my attention in the latter half of the week. If we're going to talk about the body of Christ, let's get down to it. How many of you have ever had an affliction that ends in itis? Raise your hand, wave at me, something. Lenita, what does itis mean? Unmute yourself and tell us.
Inflammation of a body part that can lead to further destruction of your cells.
Inflammation of body parts that can lead to further destruction. It's so great to have an expert in the room. What's inflammation, folks? What's it feel like when you're inflamed? Here's a hint. Our world is inflamed. Now, when parts of our body get inflamed, it is usually a warning sign that we should pay attention to this. It hurts right now, and that's your first warning sign. And as Lenita pointed out, if you don't do something about it, it's going to get worse, possibly leading to long-term destruction of parts of your body. Now, this image of the body and inflammation is one of those things where often we don't think about that part of the body until it breaks. Gallbladders, for instance, sometimes we don't think about. Joints, we don't think about. Blood, we don't think about. Breathing, we don't think about. Our back, until one day it tells us, I'm here, and you've been neglecting me. We are supposed to take those cases of inflammation seriously because they are a wound and a break and often a dysfunction of the body. If we really want to be the body of Christ in the world and break away from that as simply symbolic language, then we need to look at a nation on fire and say something is wrong and it needs healing. It needs care. It needs to be addressed. It cannot be put off any longer because if we do, it's just going to get worse. It's going to cause lasting, painful, irrevocable damage. It is Pentecost Sunday, and the symbol for today is flames. It's red. You've done that very well. But the symbol for today is flames. Things are on fire. And if we take seriously the body of Christ as more than just Paul's metaphor for how we are, then we need to pay attention to the inflammation of our world. To hotly spoken words, to hot tempers, to heated arguments, to the fact that we almost never take time to cool off anymore. This is not metaphor. This is truth. The body takes all of us. So if I were to read us a different set of gifts for today that we need and sometimes often neglect until we don't see them or don't have them, who is the person who calls to check in? You have that friend who's always good at checking in? We were talking about it in Sunday school for years. The ministry that we had that we sort of took for granted was Jerry Legg and her cards. And then Jerry left us, and that ministry has been picked up by several of us. It has become dispersed throughout the body. It doesn't need to reside just with one of us. And this past week, you should have gotten a Pentecost card in the mail from the kids. Because for them, getting cards is just a normal part of being the church. And if you're going to get a card, somebody has to send a card. Novel thought, I know. What about the ministry of casserole dishes, of washing dishes, of putting things away? What about the ministry of caring for our kids? What about the ministry of caring for our folks who are only childish at heart? I can't get away with calling you old. I'll get in trouble if I do that. What about the people who call for justice? What about the people who cry out for God's word to be spoken in a new and different way that people can hear? What about the people who constantly just do what needs to be done, even if it's not their thing, but they see that it needs to be done, so they get it done? The body of Christ, not just this body gathered, I would normally get to say 1200 South Carbon, but gathered on the Zoom screen in front of me, has gifts. And it has gifts that the world needs. And the world has gifts that we need to fully be the people of God together. In this day, the world needs people who can function like ibuprofen and reduce inflammation. The biblical phrase for that is, blessed are the peacemakers. It also needs people who are willing to go to the doctor when it hurts to move every day. When we as a nation are so wounded that we are inflamed all the time, we need to be willing to seek help. And that's a challenge because most of us just don't like to do it. It can be a gift to say, I can't do it this way anymore. Something has to change. And the church needs those gifts as well. So as you go out this week into a week that is red and inflamed and hurting, may you go with your gifts and may you go with the understanding that you are given those gifts to give them to the world. Abraham is given a blessing so that he and his family might be a blessing to all of creation. You are given a gift and you are expected to re-gift it. over and over and over again to a world that needs to know that the gifts of God and the body of Christ are not just metaphors. They are real things that transform the world until it looks a little bit more like the new heaven and the new earth and the kingdom of God. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.